Hello, welcome to this edition of the Bearcats Blogcast. My name is Scott, joined as always by Chris Baines. How's it going, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, Scott. It has been a minute since we've talked. We were talking about this 5 minutes ago, but it was January 11th last time we talked, and a lot has happened on the UC side. Not all basketball related. There was a second signing day, the former official signing day. Now it's just the second back signing day of the 2019 period. And the UC 2019 football schedule was released, which we can get to in a minute. But since we last talked, UC has won quite a bit of games. They have won 7 of their last 8. Unfortunately, that 8th game against Houston on the road, a good marquee opportunity, they did lose. But, 7 of the last 8 is pretty good. Can't really complain about that. What are your thoughts, kind of just holistically over the last month or so, about this team and kind of where we're at, and anything and everything, whatever's on your chest?
I'll say very first thing is, like, wow, this is a team heart attack. Like, last regular season was yes, like almost routine with how good the team was and how they just kind of rolled everybody for a certain extent. Then, like, on the other hand, this team is, like, playing close game after close game after close game. Some comebacks, some, like, blown leads. But almost always coming down to the wire, except for the second Tulsa game where, like, they just blow Tulsa out. It's like a string of games that just, like, really put you through the ringer. And the number one thing that stands out just through every game is, like, how good Jerron Cumberland is. Like, at 22 points a game in conference play. Like, in a league where somebody scored 41 points and a half, he's the leading scorer. The team's offense has been, like, way better than the team's defense, which I don't think anybody saw coming. Even though some people was like, I think we even talked about before the season how we thought the defense would step back. But the defense has really stepped back quite a bit. Like, the UC doesn't have the best defense in the league for the first time in seemingly forever. And this season's been really fun. You cannot say this season's been boring because it's been really interesting the whole way through. And 20-4, 9-2 in league play. It's still really great. And, like, they've rolled pretty much everybody they've played, like, with victories, not with margin. Even though their scoring margin is still second in the league.
Go ahead. I don't know if you're done or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're rusty. I agree with all of those points. And I'll occasionally scroll through YouTube. I'm subscribed to, like, the UC's, I don't know if it's Hoops or football, or whoever posts highlights, and just randomly through the feed, they're throwing up these, like, random highlights from last season, and, you know, just in the title, it's like, you know, UC's 82-48 win over Memphis, UC's 78-55 win over South Florida, UC's 75-42 win over Temple, just these throttles that UC would put on these opponents, and you juxtapose that to the last month or so. I mean, they've had 7 wins, but, you know, only 2 of those have come by double digits. And, you know, to your point, you know, one of those was a Tulsa game, which UC kind of was able to self-scout themselves against Tulsa on the road and, you know, really, you know, put the pedal to the metal against Tulsa at home. But, I mean, even, you know, I'm not sure what that really speaks to. I think it's a little bit of a combination of, you know, this is a young team that it is still coming together here in February. And there's a lot of pieces that they're still trying to figure out how they can, you know, put them together. You know, last season we were able to lean on Gary Clark and Jacob Evans and Kyle Washington, and Jerron Cumberland was just a piece of the puzzle that really saw UC completely torch teams on the court night in and night out. Now he's the guy, and they're trying to and we've talked about this all season. They're trying to figure out who's that second and third option is. Is it Keith Williams? Is it gonna be Trey Scott or Nysir Brooks down low? It's kind of hit or miss in a given night. And, you know, another part of that is just that the league is just better. Like, UConn, USF, Tulsa, Temple, SMU, Memphis, they're all better this year. I mean, the league itself has 10 top 150 teams in the conference for a down year, and that's pretty impressive. So, you know, part of me is a little concerned with that, but, I mean, we also kind of saw last season, you know, this team was throttling opponents. They won the AAC title and still got knocked out, you know, by Nevada in that infamous game. So, you know, even though this is a program that, you know, is coming off a year where they were completely slaughtering teams and they're kind of slogging their way through the conference this year, I mean, to your point, they still won 20 games. They still won 9 in the conference. And, you know, maybe down the road, some of these close games will kind of better prepare them for both conference and NCAA tournament play.
A conference is actually one of the things I'm really interested in. Because, like, as you mentioned, it's been really tight. You've had two teams, like Houston and Cincinnati, like, really be the pillars of the league. And Houston's only lost on the road at Temple on a call that could have gone either way. Cincinnati lost a last-second game to East Carolina and then to Houston. Like, Central Florida's, like, had some shaky outings, and Temple has been kind of weird. But then, like, the rest of the league just really solid and really competitive outside of Tulane, who's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is going to make the conference tournament in Memphis, like, really wide open. Because you can see, like, I don't know, a majority of these teams at least have a chance in some of these games. And it should be really fun. Like, I think the odds of a bid thief coming from this league are really high.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key there is that it's in Memphis. And Memphis is a complete Jekyll and Hyde team on the road versus at home. You know they're going to, I guess you don't know, but you got to expect Memphis fans are going to show up for that game and cause any game with Memphis in it kind of a pseudo-home game for the Tigers. If they wind up, you know, rolling through the tournament and stealing a bid, you know, this could be a four-bid league with potentially Central Florida kind of on the bubble there, but, you know, they could still sneak in if they kind of continue to hold solid the rest of the season. It's very impressive to me. I mean, they, as of now, they have three tournament-bound teams, Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida. They have 6 in the top 100 and 10 in the top 150. They only had 7 in the top 150 last year. And this is kind of this is considered a league that is kind of rebuilding itself. You know, we know what Houston and Cincinnati lost over the offseason. Memphis and UConn went through coaching changes. South Florida has found a diamond in the rough in Brian Gregory. And, you know, if this is what this league can do in an off year, it's going to be really exciting what this league can do going down the road when you see, like, you know, Hurley and Memphis's coach, I forgot his name off the top of my head, and Gregory kind of seeking them get going. Hardaway, yeah, I don't know why. It's probably the most famous coach in the league, and I forgot his name. But it, really encouraging to see the league really step up kind of in that middle class area.
And, like, even Wichita State, who got off to a really rough start. They were 1-6 in league play. Like, I know they've beaten up on some, like, the teams at the bottom. They've won 4 in a row, like one of the hottest teams in the league, and like they look like a pretty interesting team. Like, and Marcus McDuffie is like a superstar in the league. I think that's when one of the other things that's really stood out is, like, this league's has a lot of guys who have really taken that, like, big step. Like, Cumberland is turned into a star. Corey Davis, like, is really filled in at Houston for Rob Gray. Like, Austin was good last year, but he's been better at Temple. Like, B.J. Taylor, like, being healthy all season has been really big for Central Florida. Like, McDuffie's, like, averaging nearly 20 points a game in league play. Like, Martin at Memphis is a really good scorer. Like, he can go almost down the list. And every team has, like, guys who are really stepping up and playing well. I think the overall problem, like, with the league and, like, if the league as a whole is going to go far in the tournament, is it seems every team has a couple guys who can, like, score and do major things. But that's kind of it. And, like, yeah. Cincinnati and Houston are, and I guess to an extent Central Florida, and, like, maybe even Temple, have, like, the most balanced rosters, which really helps a ton. Because I think Houston's pretty balanced, like, with their starters. Like, yeah. Cincinnati's pretty balanced with their, like, top 7, top 8. And then, like, like, the other teams, like, you can see their flaws. Like, Memphis would really could you really use somebody like Diedrich Lawson? If they could ever get somebody like that to go to their program, they could probably be a tournament team this year. And, like, UConn's just, like, a couple guys away, too. And I would say, like, the same with Wichita, who, like, lost a ton last year. So, like, that's one of the other things that stands out. And, like, one of the things that's made the league, like, so fun. Even, like, that and, like, everybody wins at home. Which, like, the league is, what, 48 home wins out of 70 games. Like, the second highest in the country. Like, it's really tough to win on the road at a lot of these places. As, like, UC's found out because they've lost two road games.
Yeah, one of which being to the Drek of East Carolina. I guess second Drek. I guess that Drek would be technically Tulane. I can't remember. I think they're like 11th and 12th in the KenPom rankings. But yeah, it's been, you know, this is the time of the year where you want to try to see the cream of the conference rise at the top or stay at the top. You want Houston, Cincy, and UCF to win most of their games going forward. But the way they're able to bolster that their seed so far has been by, you know, quote unquote, beating up on that middle class, you know, winning games against South Florida and UConn and Memphis. And, you know, you might lose a game or two. And we were kind of worried about this, you know, before the season started. I guess kind of in the middle of the season, we were kind of talking about when some of those 1 to 200 level teams are starting to kind of emerge. But it doesn't really seem like it's really hurting those at the top that much, because they are piling up wins against those top 100, top 150 teams as well. And I feel like, you know, as we're kind of talking about like what this conference can do going forward, I still believe this is like a 5-bid league, like at a minimum. Like if Memphis has the number one overall recruit in the country coming into play for them next year. Who knows how Hardaway's going to kind of develop them. You got to imagine Hurley's going to get UConn, you know, turned around right quick. Cincinnati and Memphis are going to stay at the top. I'm sorry, Cincinnati and Houston are going to stay at the top. UCF should be in the mix. Temple should be in the mix, even with Hurley or Fran Dunphy retiring. You got to think Wichita State's going to be back near the top. Like this could very well be a quote Power Five type league in terms of like tournament bids year in and year out.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point. Like, even now, like, it's everybody, like, not everybody, but most people have, like, this is a 4-bid league. Like, I guess you could say, like, oh, the bubble is really weak or whatever. But still, like, that 4 bids and, like, a down year for the AAC, I think is pretty impressive.
And yeah, I think that's the key there, is that it's a down year and they have 4 bids. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, like, to your point, like, so many of these other programs look like they're going to be, like, heading in a different direction next season. Like, you would expect Houston and Cincinnati to stay as good as long as, like, their coaches are there. And, like, some of these other programs on the come up. I think it's going to be we're, like, looking at a really good time for the AAC. Yeah. And as long as, like, they just don't get, like, all their coaches taken away from them, like, this offseason and, like, derail some of the progress from the rest of the league.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you got to think Mick's going to be there. Hurley and Hardaway aren't going anywhere in year one. Greg Marshall's going to still be there. I mean, obviously Fran Dunphy's retiring, but he already has a coach in waiting on the staff. I mean, I guess, you know, between what Brian Gregory, Sampson at Houston. Like, those are probably the two most coachable or poachable coaches in the league right now, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, do you think either of them leave this offseason? I guess, I mean, there's so many other factors in there, but
I wouldn't say on the surface, no, but then, like, we really don't know what could happen. Like, somebody may be interested in what Kelvin Sampson's done, like, turning that team around. Like, I think his name was, like, thrown out a couple years, or, like, last year for something. Like, I don't know. I could see maybe he takes a bigger job. But he's really turned Houston into, like, a really, really solid program the last few years. Like, his turnaround there has gone really well. And they do have, like, a couple seniors. So who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I feel like I kind of agree. Like, between Gregory and and Samson. It seems like Samson would probably be the most likely candidate. I mean, Houston's a top 10 team right now. You know, when they visit Fifth Third in a month or so, they could be a top 5 team, depending on how things, you know, go. And he's kind of shown that consistency of that program. And, you know, they just renovated the basketball arena down there. The administration as a whole, based on their donor base, has shown that they can shell out cash for coaches, you know, based on what they did with Dana Holgorsen this offseason. You know, they might be able to throw some more money at Samson, but, you know, if another program comes calling, I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing, like, I don't know. I don't know what – I'm not sure about, like, SEC or Big 12 programs that are kind of on a down year. But, I mean, if one of those programs kind of come calling, I don't know if Houston can kind of keep Samson. And then, like, to Gregory, he's got a good history at Dayton. I mean, he kind of, you know, fell off the wagon at Georgia Tech in the ACC. But, you know, he kind of seems like a little bit of a flash in the pan so far. He probably seems like he needs to, you know, build up his resume at South Florida a little more before he gets poached. But, I mean, you know, to your point, who knows? I mean, these guys have agents that are constantly trying to play for these coaches to get bigger and better jobs.
Yeah, 100%. And, I don't know, Samson, like, really stands out because it seems like he's kind of, like, obviously he's done a great job. And, like, the stuff he got, like, busted for at IU is, like, legal now. Like, so, yeah. So, like, yeah. If like, somebody decided to give him, like, a chance to, like, run a big-time program, or I could see him leaving, and I think that would really hurt Houston, at least, like, so far. Like, just based on, like, how well they've played the last two seasons, and, like, how, like, they've been, like, the second-best team, like, the last 2 years. But, like, that's, I guess that's a topic for the end of the season. And not right now. But, yeah, I think this has been a really fun league to watch, like, top to bottom. And maybe not bottom. But, like, top to seven.
No, one's watching East Carolina and Tulane.
yeah, top to, like, seven, eight, or nine. And I think it's going to be a really exciting end to the season. Like, especially UC, like, plays Central Florida twice, like, the first time coming up on Thursday. As you mentioned, they end with Houston, like, end on the road at UCF. They play Memphis, which was a really entertaining game the first time the two teams played. Like, go to SMU. I guess you could say that the same thing about, like, all the UC games. It's like, they were really entertaining games. Like, the SMU game, like, in Fifth Third was pretty entertaining. And UC goes to Moody, where they've struggled to win. They go to UConn, where UConn is, like, a weird team. But it seems like that UConn always steps up to play Cincinnati. It's like, you have a pretty tough slate to end the season. But a pretty exciting slate at the same time. And I'm really excited to see how this team does down the stretch. I'm confident they can make that Houston game for, like, a league title.
Yeah, what do you think they went out? I mean, regular season. Mo Egger made a bold proclamation after that game that they were going to win out in the regular season.
I would say I would probably lean towards no, because they play, like, three road games still, and they play Houston again. Like, it's just mathematically, I would say no, they don't. I think they'll lose probably one game the rest of the way. What about you?
Okay. Yeah, I think Central Florida on the road trips them up, honestly. Like, UConn and us, like, UConn, I mean, is Jalen Adams even, like, playing this season? Like, is he back? I mean, look. Who knows? I don't think they trip up at UConn or SMU. But I think that UCF game on a Thursday night is gonna trip them up a little bit. Especially because they have Houston come to town on Sunday. And I think Mick's going to try to keep the team, like, focused. But I don't know. I can just see, just with the way this team plays on the road, with the way every team in this league plays at home, I can see UC kind of getting tripped up by the Knights on that Thursday. But, I mean, I think otherwise, I think they win out. I mean, Houston, I mean, we can pivot that in a little bit. But, like, they were in that game. for most of that game in front of a hostile environment and only lost that game by 7 on the road. I think they win that game at home.
They could have, but it's just the way they played, like, overall on the road this season, it hasn't been really encouraging. And, like, they could have, like, you could have, like, say they, I mean, they could have easily won the Houston game. If, like, they score any points down the stretch, they could have won. But, like, you can flip it. It's like Memphis. If Memphis doesn't turn the ball over, like, 6 million times in the second half,
yeah,
that game could be different. Like, so, like, you can, like, play that with, like, any of their games, because they've all been close, which is, like, made this team, like, really interesting to think about. Like, I could see them going undefeated the rest of the way, but, like, the game at UCF, it's going to be really tough. Like,
yeah.
I even think the first meeting, because that's got to be a pretty important game for Central Florida, just, like, where they've been overall. Like, they really don't have any, like, standout wins lately. Outside of, like, beating UConn a couple of weeks ago, because they beat SMU in South Florida. They play Memphis, who already beat them. Like, Memphis killed them the first time they played. So that'd be a pretty interesting, like, big game for UCF.
Yeah, and I think, like, UCF, you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, they kind of come down to earth, like, in the last few weeks. And like that's I feel like UC should be able to handle them pretty easily at home, but I think they could beat UCF on the road. I just the way this team has played on the road and the way like even UCF themselves have played at home and every other team has played against UCF at home. I could see them kind of tripping up a little bit. It feels like I don't want to call it a trap game because Central Florida, I mean, that'd be disrespectful to how Central Florida has played this season, but it just has that feeling of a trap game, just kind of where it is in the season and, you know, what day of the week it is and the fact that, like, this UC just played really bad on the road. like to your point, they had to almost steal the game at Memphis. They nearly lost against Tulsa on the road. I mean, they lost against East Carolina on the road. It's just – this feels like a team that could get tripped up against Central Florida near the end of the season.
I mean, the fun thing about this team is, like, it feels like they could go either way, and, like, they've always pulled through. Or not always,
yeah,
but most of the time they pulled through this entire year, like, and pulled out big victories. So whether it be, like, the first game at Tulsa, which, speaking of games they could have lost that game at Tulsa easily. And, like,
right,
came room, like, just amazing. Like, the Temple game, really, they have, like, big comeback in that game to win that game. Like, it's been, like, a really resilient team that's been, like, nails almost down the stretch of all but really, like, two games. Like, I would say Ole Miss, or not Ole Miss, but Mississippi State, like, they kind of did the same thing they did against Houston, where, like, they score, like, 58, 59 points, and then they stop scoring down the stretch and kind of just get, like, slowly, like, beaten. Like, the Houston game was just really frustrating. They don't score the last 6 minutes. Like, and who knows how different that game could have been if, like, they could just make one basket.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the defense actually played pretty darn stoutly down the stretch. Like, I think they only allowed, like 6 or 8 points or something. Like, it was basically, I think it was tied before UC went on that scoring drought. And, like, I feel like in that game, it wasn't that, like, Houston clamped down and just kept UC from scoring. I feel like UC just kind of let it get away from them, in a sense. Like, they lost focus, they just, the balls just weren't dropping. Like, I feel like they clanked the rim, like, more in that 6 minute stretch than, like, any other time during that game. It feels more like they just kind of let that game get away from them than Houston really took control and beat them down at home.
Yeah, and, like, that's been, like, the biggest problem with the team the entire season is that it seems like sometimes, like, they just don't have, like, anything to do, which is, like, kind of weird. Like, where, like, they just, like, if, like, somebody locks down Cumberland, which it's been hard for teams to do, but, like, they just keep throwing bodies at him. And sometimes, like, it's just some of these guys, like, either don't make shots or, like, nobody wants to do anything with the ball at the end. Like, Logan Johnson's, like, taking one of the biggest shots of the Houston game, like, out of nowhere. His only minutes are at the end of the game. It's, like, kind of weird. But, Like, it's been kind of really interesting to see how Mix, like, gone into the offense and, like, gotten so many of these guys to step up. Like, Keith Williams has really been impressive, I think, offensively this season. Like, then, like, their other big problem is, like, their lack of a second, like, or not second, but a third three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Besides Cumberland. And,
hell, really even a second sometimes.
Yeah, after, like, Jennifer, like, no-showed the Houston game. But, yeah, I think that's fair to say, too.
Yeah, I feel like my two biggest concerns coming out of that game is that, well, first of all, Keith Williams should never be shooting five threes in a game. Like, the only situation where we should see Keith Williams with 5 3-point attempts in the game is if the game went into three overtimes. Like, he went 0-for-5 from three. That's not his game. And, you know, to your point, Houston was throwing, like, double teams at Cumberland every single time that they were in that half-court offense. And if I'm Keith Williams, I got to know that my game is not shooting from beyond the arc. My game is driving from the outside in and making plays around the rim. And if I don't get the ball to go down, I can at least get fouls. And hell, if I even get there without getting touched, I have the ability to go up and challenge around the rim and get it up there. The other concern I had was just they look so soft underneath. And Houston isn't really a team that plays, like, you know, two, like, their strength of the team isn't their power forwards. It's just not. I mean, it's their kind of more lanky guards and you know, small forwards and stuff like that. But UC just looks so soft underneath. I mean, Houston shot 59% from two. UC got out-rebounded 42-36. Trey Scott only had three boards. Like UC's game this season, or strategy this season to win, is out-rebounding other teams. And it was just very concerning to see how soft UC was underneath against Houston.
Absolutely. Like, especially as you mentioned, Houston plays four guards the majority of the time. Like, they just, like, keep beating them up with, like, pick and rolls, especially the first half. Like, Houston just runs a pick and roll, and, like, UC's bigs couldn't stop it. Or their guards would, like, slack off and get, like, somebody, I think it was Moore, just, like, ate a screen in the first half of the game.
Yeah.
It's just, like, kind of, like, crazy to see this out of a Cincinnati defense. And, like, you can't talk about how this team is playing conference play without mentioning the three-pointers. Like, we've never seen a team like this, like, porous from three. Like, teams are shooting 39% from three. Like, unbelievable. And, like, that's really made, like, a ton of these games close. Like, when you can't put, like, somebody like Memphis or Tulsa away because they keep drilling threes on your head, like, the entire game, it just makes it really hard. And, like, they've blocked a ton of shots. But, like you said, I think they get out of position so much that it really makes it harder on themselves, too. Like, then, like, to flip it the other way, like, the ball just sticks on this team. Like, they have so many ISO players. Which, like, is, like, understandable, like, when one of them is Cumberland, and, like, he can just clear out for him, and he can just be, like, a bull in a china shop and, like, get to the foul line. But, it makes it kind of awkward, like, at the end of the Houston game when, like, the ball doesn't move, somebody just dribbles for, like, 10 seconds and then just flies down the lane or pulls up from three. It's, like, that'd be, like, the one thing, like, where you hope they can get the offense going a little more smoother late in games. But, like, you can't, like, doubt the results. Like, 20-4, it, like, speaks for itself. And even if, like, they finish, I don't know, like, they lose a bunch of close games down the stretch, even if they lose, like, 8 or 9 games, I think they're still a tournament team. Like, no matter what. And I don't think they'll fall completely collapsed down the stretch either. But I'm, like, really happy with where this team is, like, for what they are, where it's, like, a reloading Cincinnati team is still, like, one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, UC the down year, and we're basically at the point where we're of the season in February where we're arguing about where this team is going to get seated more so than if they're going to make the tournament, we're in a pretty good place as a program. But, like, all of these concerns that we've kind of seen all season, the three-point defense, just the inability of UC to match up or to cover moving or an offense that moves as much as Houston. Like UC's matchup zone defense is excellent. It stymies teams a lot of the time, but if UC gets out of position, that's just opening up shooters on the outside to nail threes, and they've been doing that this season. To your point, like 39%, it's been killing this defense. And then you know, it's again finding that second or third player to complement Cumberland. Sometimes it's Keith Williams, sometimes it's Kane Broom, sometimes it's Justin Jennifer. Every now and then it's Trey Scott and Nancy Brooks, but it's in that game we kind of saw all three of those factors really come together and lead to a UC loss. Now, they only lost by 7. They were in that game until 6 minutes to go. But it's one of those games where it's like, yeah, I mean, you're kind of seeing what this team could potentially be if they're at their worst. And we see some of those weaknesses come to the surface. And you know, if you're talking about how far this team can go in the NCAA tournament, I mean, if that game was any indication, the answer is probably not that far.
Yeah, especially with where like they're forecast to be, like as a right now, like on the bracket matrix, they're a 7 seed. It's like then you'd be playing a 10 seed. Like none of the 10 seeds really look amazing. Like Wofford is pretty good. Like then like Oklahoma, like NC State, Alabama. I would say teams like just power conference teams that like, are probably gonna be at the top of this league. It's like probably a close game. Then you a 2 seed, like Michigan, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina, like a teams that would be trouble for this team. But like I hope, like the good thing is like if they do like win out, like it seems like the committee like is really respected, at least the top of the league and like the last couple of years. Like Houston like projected to be a 3 seed from the midseason committee thing, like and that could go up if they keep winning. Like Cincinnati, if they keep winning, they could like end up as like if they end up like as a 4 seed or a 5 seed, even a 6 seed, like I'm not really as worried about like Kansas or like Purdue or Marquette as I would be about like the powers of the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. And like you'd rather play like a team that barely made the tournament than a team that's like solidly in the first round. So like hopefully they can keep winning and end up in like steadier position instead of like having to play one of the best teams in the country in the second round of the tournament. It just seems like they have like some of the last few years, like where they end up playing like the historically great Kentucky team or like an uber talented UCLA team. Like that would be my kind of worry, is like a repeat of a couple years ago where they have a really good team. Then they play like UCLA who like just turns it on in that game in the second round and like kind of just like beat them pretty bad.
Right. Yeah, the biggest concern for me is like, yeah, it is exactly that. If you're facing one of those teams that's uberly talented, you know, it might send a guy or two to the NBA, and it's one of those teams where those guys are like at the guard position that can just like knock down shots, like knock down threes without any effort. That's what's going to like be concerning to me, because like what we were talking about earlier is that, you know, UC gives up threes at a decent clip, and they're not really able to go tit for tat offensively with anybody outside of like Jerron Cumberland. I mean, Justin Jennifer has had pretty good spurts this season, but you know, he has to be in that kind of perfect position off the ball to really nail those shots. He's never going to make his own three shot. I mean, Cumberland does that better than anybody else on this team. But yeah, that is my concern, is that like if they are going to run into somebody in the tournament that's just flat out better than them, and especially at the guard position. But I mean, we're probably getting a little ahead of ourselves, because which is kind of nice. It's kind of nice because I feel like when we were talking about like this team like at the beginning of the season, we weren't 100% sure if they were going to make the tournament at all. I feel like I had them before the season as like a bubble team, just based on just whatever was on paper.
Yeah, I think especially with like the tough loss against Ohio State to open the year.
Yeah,
we weren't sure if Ohio State was going to be that great. Like, and then like Ole Miss has turned out to be a lot better than like many people thought, including us. Because I remember when we previewed that tournament, we thought Baylor would be the team that they would play. And, like, really, like, that tournament ended up being, like, a win-win, like, no matter what. Because George Mason's decent. And, like, Ole Miss has been, like, really good. Like, an SEC contender, even if, like, they fell apart at the end. And, like, then Baylor has actually turned out to be good, too. It's like, winning that tournament was really huge. And, like, gave them two solid wins. It's like, we looked at the slate before the season started. You look at the early December part. It's like, oh, man. Like, this looks like a really tough slate. Like, UNLV is, like, trash. Like, NKU is okay. Like, they're up to 84 in KenPom, which is, like, pretty good for them. Like, Xavier is, like, somehow, like, one of the worst teams in the country, like, the last 10 minutes of games. Mississippi State, obviously good. And, like, UCLA is bad. And it's like, like, their big, tough stretch was, like, pretty easy. Which is, like, which was nice because, like, they only lost one game in that stretch.
I
forgot my point, like, reflecting on these teams. So hopefully you remember what I started talking about.
Well, I think it's been a way of, like, helping UC kind of bolster the resume and keep them in a solid position in the tournament throughout the season. Like, I mean, you mentioned, yeah, obviously the Ole Miss win and then the Mississippi State loss, and, you know, Xavier's still somehow a... Not an awful loss. I think they're, like, what, 111 or something like that? So, I mean, still, like, top 150. And then just, like, the respect the NCAA is so showing to the conference in general. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the top three up there. But they're even if UC or Houston or UCF loses to, like, a UConn, Memphis, or South Florida or whatever, the committee is showing enough respect to those top 100 teams to not really punish, you know, UC or Houston or UCF for a loss there, which I think is kind of nice to see. And it's like what we've been talking about, like, for the last several years, you know, this conference building the respect amongst its peers. And it seems to be even showing this season in a down year.
Yeah, definitely, because, like, you have, what, 3-2 in quadrant one games with three league games, and Houston coming in that again once they play later in the year, and both the UCF games, like 3-1 in quadrant two, which are, like, almost all of those are league games. Like, and you just hope that, like, maybe South Florida, like, pulls out a couple more games, and, like, and they end up in the quadrant one. Like, that'd be a pretty huge boost to the league. Like, having, like, we talked about it before, but just having the middle of the conference be good. And, like, who cares how the rest of the nation's been? Like, the middle of the conference has been, like, really solid. And if, like, some of these power leagues are down and some of, like, the mid-conference leagues are down, like, they've really filled the void. And it's made this league, like, really, like, firm up. And, like, all the numbers for most of the teams look pretty solid because, like, as you mentioned, like, Tulsa is, like, 80, UConn 78, like, South Florida 75. Like, those games the last couple years have been 100, 100, 100.
Yep.
Like, it's a gigantic boost, like, to your overall resume. Like, one of the reasons why UC could lose a couple games the rest of the way and still be fine, I think. Like, no questions asked.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, on the flip side of that, it's, you know, as they are piling up those wins, you know, the tournament is seeing those wins against Memphis and UConn and South Florida and saying, hey, yeah, those are solid wins. We will keep you bolstered there. We won't see, you know, you won't get jumped by, an ACC team that's kind of around you. Like, all three of those teams, Houston, Cincy, and Central Florida, are, like, pretty much about where they should be, according to all the metrics.
Yeah, definitely. And the league has been, what, the sixth best league in the net rankings so far over the Pac-12. Like, just behind the ACC and Big East. Like, the gap between those conferences isn't, like, that gigantic. Like, and that's a pretty prime spot to get, like, for... Maybe even like a bid thief team in there too, depending on how like Temple and UCF play down the stretch and whatever shook out in the conference tournament. Like Temple or UCF would probably have to go far for like this league to get five teams. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, like for sure.
Yeah, I mean they could potentially sneak in a fifth. I definitely think it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's probably unlikely. But yeah, like we talked about earlier, they could potentially get four. Like, four is out there. Three seems like a pretty solid bet, but yeah, they could definitely get four. And I mean, if you're talking about four, like, after a season when, well, they only got three in last year, right? It was Houston, Cincy, and Wichita State, maybe? Was that last year?
Wichita made it, yeah.
Yeah, like, that, like, last season was a good year for the conference, and it was good because the top of the conference was so excellent. But this year you're getting potentially four in when, you know, the top is pretty good, not as strong as last year. But that middle chunk of, like, teams between, like, you know, 4 and 10 are all really good. Or not really, but, like, a lot better than they were last year. And that's really encouraging to see that the committee and all the bracketologists are giving the conference respect for all of that.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, look at last year. You had 6 teams finished under 500 last year. And you have, what, like, 4 teams projected under 500 this year on KenPom. A huge step up for the league, top to bottom. And Tulsa was, like, one of the teams that had a winning record last year, and they had no chance for the tournament. And Memphis was 10-8 in league play. So, yeah, I'm proud of the league.
Yeah, and it's doing good. And it's gonna only improve. Like, this is going to be, like, as we were transitioning from the Big East to the AAC, you know, without the likes of, like, Louisville at the top, there was a lot of concern about what this league could be. And I think starting next season, we could really see what this league's potential can be. I mean, I still say 5 bids should be automatic going year in and year out of this league, given this potential. But, yeah, do you have anything else to talk about hoop side, or do you want to switch over to the football topics we were going to try to cover?
I feel like we should. Like, there's more to talk about with hoops, but I can't really think of too much more. Really, outside of like the three-point shooting, which I think is still like my biggest concern overall with the team. Like, outside of Cumberland and Justin Jennifer, whenever he actually shoots, he's been like lights out in league play. Like, that does worry me a little bit down the stretch.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can move on to football.
Should we talk Creighton?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Cincinnati finished the recruiting season 6th in the AAC behind Central Florida, Memphis, SMU, East Carolina, and Central Florida. Some part of it was because UC only brought in, what, like 16 recruits, which was one of the lowest amounts in the league. Now, what were your big takeaways from the National Signing Day Part 2?
Yeah, it was kind of like last year, you know, with the December signing day, you know, being a thing that started last season. The February one has kind of gone by the wayside in terms of like importance. Like, you see they pretty much wrapped up their class in December, which is pretty common for like what Fickell's been doing, you know, locking down kids and getting them in before the end of the calendar year. But they were able to get a very talented offensive tackle out of Dunbar, Jonathan Allen, a composite rating of 86-87, mid to high 3 stars, 6'6", 315-pound beast out of Dunbar. The biggest knock on him is that he had surgery near the end of the year, and some teams weren't sure how he was going to recover, but it sounds like he's going to take a red shirt. And, you know, I always say, like, in terms of, like, linemen, if you can nail down a guy who's already physically ready to go, that just basically knocks off years off of his training and getting him ready to go. Like, Allen could potentially, if he recovers well, he could potentially start as a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore. And, you know, that's kind of was the theme of this class is a lot of guys you're probably going to see redshirt. You might see someone like a Justin Harris come in and play right away. But, you know, this class was built more for depth. You know, a lot of last season was basically Fickell trying to find guys like a Malik Van who come in and play right away. Same with like a Tavion Thomas. Now that he's kind of got those core players in this 2-deep ready to go, you know, this class is more for depth, and, you know, we didn't see it was as large as the other one. Like you mentioned, only like 16 total. They rank sixth in terms of just the points that the AAC or that 24/7 Sports allots to them. But part of that is because UCF and Memphis had 22 commits this cycle. In terms of average recruiting ranking, UC's third, which is pretty good for a class that is probably going to mostly redshirt. So, yeah, I was very impressed with the class. They filled a lot of needs. They got a lot of linemen. They got a lot of wide receivers and defensive backs. They filled a lot of holes that are going to need filling in a couple of seasons. So, yeah, I can't complain.
Yeah, a pretty solid class. Like, none of, like, the real, like, big, like, sexy names like last year that could really stand out. Like, as you mentioned, like, really a lot of depth and, like, filler for some of these positions where, like, you know you're going to lose guys in the next couple of years. I think it's a pretty... It's, like, it's okay to have, like, just a solid class. Nationally, it ranks 77, like, 30 spots down from last year. But then, like, who knows how much that actually matters. Like, Central Florida ranked in the 50s. Like, you're only, like, 20 spots behind them. I don't think that's too big a drop-off.
Yeah, and I think the way they're ranking it is just based on the points, and you accumulate points by accumulating recruits. Just looking at the number of the commits, they had, like, the second least, or they had the second or third smallest recruiting class, but they had the third... they had the third highest average rated recruit, which is, you know, tells me that, you know, Fickell was basically trying to keep the class smaller because of how many recruits you brought in last year. They're trying to keep spots open for transfers, like the offensive tackle they got from Michigan this past offseason. And he's really just trying to kind of fill some of those holes he can see that they're going to need filling in a couple of years. I'm not too concerned about just the ratings or the points allotted. I'm looking at, like, the average recruiting ranking and just what positions that they targeted, and they seem to have gotten a lot of those guys.
Yeah, you would definitely hope so with, like, only a 14-person, like, class, 14 people assigned, like, the letter of intent. Like, you'd think they'd be pretty active on the transfer market. Like, locking some more guys down. Like, Fickell knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I trust in him and believe in... I trust the process, as they say.
Trust the process. Yeah, and I guess... I don't really... It was kind of a quiet signing day, but that's kind of almost to be expected, it seems like, you know, as we're kind of going into February. And now, you know, we're mid-February right now. Really, the name of the game is just thinking ahead to spring ball next season, and you know what this team can accomplish with a pretty good schedule, a pretty opportunistic schedule ahead of them. If we want to jump to that, I mean, they've got, you know, UCLA at home, which got moved up to a Thursday night. They're at Ohio State, then Miami, then they have a bye at Marshall on a Saturday, which could be tricky. They have Central Florida on a Friday night, at Houston, Tulsa, East Carolina on the road, UConn at home, South Florida at home, or South Florida on the road, Temple at home, and then Memphis on the road. Scott, what are your thoughts on that schedule?
We talked a lot, like, during our football overview of what this team could do next year. Like, and how the schedule broke. And I kind of think it broke in, like, a really rough way. Like,
really? Okay.
Well, just because you play, like, two of your toughest games, like, right off the bat in league play. Like, at Marshall, Central Florida, at Houston. Like, it's a pretty tough stretch to start October and September. Like, Marshall was pretty good last year. Central Florida, like, obviously, like, really great. And Houston should be pretty good next season. I think that's a pretty tough way to start. And it, just like given UC's history in the league, seems like they, like the past few years, they dropped one early. Like, I could see that happening this year just because they play Central Florida early. Like, I think it gets easier as the season goes along. Although, like, playing Temple, like, late in the season is, like, always a nightmare for UC. Well, playing Temple in general has always been a nightmare.
See, I kind of looked at it a different way. I think it was kind of balanced rather nicely. Like, I like the fact that they have UCLA and UCF on a weeknight, which, you know, that ensures a night game. And, you know, nip at night is one of the most hostile environments that can befall any opposing team. And they get an extra by moving UCLA up a couple days. They get two extra days for the staff to prepare for the important game against Ohio State on the road. I agree that the Marshall UCF Houston stretch is a little tricky, but by getting UCF on a weeknight, that plays to UC's advantage. And who knows? I mean, it's so early in the season. Who knows how healthy Mackenzie Milton's going to be, or if he's going to even play in that game? You never know. And I feel like it just kind of it balances well between road and home game. I mean, I think it's like perfectly balanced between home and road. If you look at the schedule, and that last game of the season, Memphis, potential. It looks like the AAC is thinking that that's going to be the team to beat coming out of the West, and they get that game on the day after Thanksgiving in what will probably be an empty Liberty Bowl. So crowd noise might not be a factor in that game. I feel like there was a lot of positives to look at in the schedule.
Yeah, I think my biggest, like, I think like after you get through like the beginning of the season, I think it gets a lot easier. But just like that opening stretch, playing like two potential top 10 teams in a month, is really tough. Like, I would have rather seen like UCF be like towards the middle of the season. But like getting that game on a Friday night, like in Nippert, like two like big marquee ESPN home games in the first like month plus of the season, is like really great. And like you play a huge game against Ohio State that could be on like Fox or some ESPN channel as well, or hopefully just not the Big Ten Network again.
Right.
So in terms of marquee like games, like three out of your first five are national TV games, which is a huge like plus for the program and the players. Like after like they had such a big season last year, to get some like big recognition is nice, I think. And like Houston will probably be like a ESPN game. You would hope it wouldn't be a CBS sports game, but who knows how those teams will be to start the season. Houston plays Oklahoma, so like if they only have one loss, like that should be a pretty huge game.
Yeah, I think that Houston game might be a little. I don't know. I don't know what to think about Dana Holgerson's going to do in year one. Like it's kind of in the middle of the season, so at that point he should probably have the team at least somewhat in tune to like what he's trying to do with the program. There's going to be a little bit of a turnover going from Major Applewhite to Holgerson, but. It could play in UC's favor having it earlier in the season, even though they do have to play that one on the road. And then, like, I totally agree that stretch there, like I said, Marshall, UCF, Houston is going to be really difficult, especially when you're only a few weeks removed from Ohio State. But at the same time, it's almost kind of nice to get those things out of the way, I feel like. Like, if you had, you know, UCF sitting there at the end of the schedule, it might have been nicer because, you know, they could potentially have, like, a 20-degree game in Nippert, like, sometime in November. But if you win those games and set yourself up with a top 10 or top 15 ranking, you're basically just kind of churning through the dreck of the league as you wait for Memphis. And you know, you could potentially just be kind of watching teams fall by the wayside as you kind of jump them in the rankings, potentially.
Yeah, that's the high end, like optimistic point of view for the season, is like you could be really like you said, like a top 15, top 20 team going into games against like Tulsa, like who they should beat pretty much no matter what. Like East Carolina could be interesting. Just to see like where they come from, like in their coach's first year, like on the road, like where UC got killed there a couple years ago. Like, UConn, they should be pretty good. And like the last three. I think a pretty challenging last three games. It's like you have a challenging beginning and a challenging end. It's like going to USF. Who knows? Like, it'll be November. Like, who knows how good they'll be. And who knows how good Temple will be. Like, on paper, it looks challenging. But in reality, it could be, like, those teams are down. And then you play at Memphis, like, the day after Thanksgiving. And probably, like, a pretty good spot. Because, like, Memphis has been, like, national TV games in that spot the last couple of years. So just in terms of exposure, it's, like, a pretty huge season for the program. And you'd like to love to see them get off to a gigantic start. Like, start off with a big win against UCLA. Like, play Ohio State tough, win or lose. Like, it seems like the only game, like, they won't have, like, a raucous crowd is, like, Miami. And, like, then, like, they'll have good crowds until they play, like, Tulsa. It's like, that's pretty exciting. And Tulsa's at home. And, like, if they're good when they play Tulsa, I'm sure people will show up. Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Who knows? It's Tulsa. And, like, you know, that one just kind of feels, like, that one in UConn just kind of feels like a noon game on CBS Sportsnet, doesn't it? Unfortunately, like, ugh. Like, the one of those ones where, like, everyone's kind of, like, hung over, like, you know, dragging themselves by the stadium and looking over, oh, there's a football game on. Oh, okay. I guess I'll go. This is like really the schedule that breaks out to give UC a good opportunity to really set themselves up as a top tier G5 program. And if they can establish themselves, I mean, who knows if they beat Ohio State or if they kind of lose a close game there. You know, even if they lose a close game to Ohio State, I think they could, just in terms of building that rep in this day and age of college football, it could break pretty well for UC this season. I still say they beat UCF at home. I don't know. I mean, Mackenzie Milton, he's going to be a little hobbled. Their backup quarterback performed well, like played well against, I think it was LSU. I can't remember if it was LSU or Auburn in the bowl game. But, I mean, this program's cooking, and I think they beat UCF at home. Yeah, well, I guess, like, speaking to that record, what do you think they do? Like, I mean, as its early onset, given the schedule and how it breaks out.
I don't know. Let's go through game by game. Let's do that exciting game and determine, because, like, I haven't really thought it through. Like, UCLA, do we think they'll beat UCLA?
Yeah.
Like, Ohio State?
I'm going to say... Harder head.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. So they'll be 1-1. They should beat Miami. They always beat Miami. So 2-1. Marshall.
Real quick, is what's his face? Chuck Martin still their head coach? And they somehow still get to 6-6. And UC always gets them in that dog shit period in September and October. But yeah, you know, keep paying Chuck Martin, Miami. That is working out well for UC.
And, like, on top of that, it's, like, he, like, loses, like, every single game to UC in, like, some excruciating fashion. So it's, like, just really amazing. It's, like, under, like, his watch, they should have beat UC, what, like, at least two or three times. And they haven't done it once. It's just kind of hilarious.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's see, at Marshall.
When...
Yeah, I'll say win, too. So that's, what, 3-1 at Houston?
What? Are we skipping UCF? Are we saving that to the last?
Oh, yeah, UCF. I did skip UCF.
I don't know if you're, like, holding that for drama or something. I say win.
I'll say loss. So
really?
Yeah. I don't know. I still believe in UCF.
All right. I'll say win.
At Houston.
Win. Do you want to group the next five together?
See, I don't know. Houston is a tricky one. I don't know. I'll say they beat Houston, too. Then Like the next three, I think they'll win all three of those against Tulsa, East Carolina, and UConn. Then what about UCF? So like obviously, do you think they beat them in Temple?
I think Charlie Strong like overstayed his welcome at UCF, USF. I think UC goes down there and hammers them by at least a few touchdowns.
I think it'll be really interesting to see where they are this season. It's like, as you said, like last year, like they were so trash like, at the end of the season. Like they lost like what every game so bad. Like it,
yeah, and that's the thing is like they like the way they ended the season. Like there's just no momentum with that program right now, right?
Yeah, I don't think there is, because like I don't know. It seems like a year where like he has to win, or he's like in trouble.
Yeah. And so I think, like, if they had axed Charlie Strong this past season, or off season, I think they would have. I think that would be a potential trap game as they look forward to Nippert. But right now, or a Temple at Nippert the following week. But I think right now, because they kept Charlie Strong, I don't see how UC loses that game.
Yeah, I'll roll with you on that one. And like, it seems like the programs are like switched places, where like USF was number two, and now UC's back to number two. At Temple, like the final home game.
See, that's a win. I think that. See, because if Jeff Collins was still Temple's head coach, I would say that would be a tricky game, and UC could potentially lose that one. But I mean, there's turnover there. Rod Carey has been, you know, he's been okay at Northern Illinois. He's been okay. But he hasn't been what, like, Jerry Kill was in that program. Like, he didn't really take that program and, you know, necessarily, you know, run it into the ground. But, you know, he was only okay at Northern Illinois. Like, let me look at his record real quick. I mean, he was 52-30, but the double-digit win seasons that he had at Northern Illinois were, like, 5 years ago. Since then, he was 8-6, 5-7, 8-5, 8-6 in the MAC. Like, I don't know if that was Temple was kind of, you know, screwed over when Manny Diaz stayed at Miami, but at the same time, like, Rod Carey seemed like an okay coach, but, like, I don't know, seemed like a questionable hire. So I think that's a win.
Yeah, I'll tentatively say that's a win, just because they never beat Temple. But they should beat Temple, you would think, even though like Temple has their quarterback coming back. And they were pretty good last year. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. It seemed like Temple just got thrown in a really rough spot where, like, what were they supposed to do? Like, they lost their number one option. They had to fill late. Like, I think Carey's, like, an all-right coach. Like, maybe he'll be better, like, if he can get better recruits at Temple. But then that just seems like a really tough place to recruit anyway. They finished, well, like, ninth in the recruiting rankings this year. Like, obviously, like, not a gigantic thing for Temple since, like, their whole thing seems to be, like, making these guys something out of, like, low-quality recruits. But I guess we'll see. But I think that would be a win, too. And then at Memphis, what do you think?
It's going to be – I think that's the toughest conference game on the schedule. And, you know, to the AAC's credit, they put it at the end of the season. Memphis really underwhelmed this past season, which I feel like is a little concerning as you're heading into a new year with the same coaching staff. Like they had the best running back in the league, but they gave up a million points defensively, and unless they were you know scoring getting yards in chunks and scoring points in chunks, Memphis you know didn't really do a lot offensively. So I feel like that's kind of, you know, it's so late in the season that we don't really know, you know, Memphis could be a completely different team than they were last year. But at this point in time, I feel like UC can go into Memphis on the day after Thanksgiving and hopefully an empty Liberty Bowl and win that game. What do you think?
Like, on paper now, I'd probably have that one as a loss. I think that's the second toughest place to play in the league. Like, they don't really lose at home at all, ever.
Yeah.
So, like, I
would... I can see it that way, too. Go ahead.
So, I would, like, lean... Like, probably just, like, instinctively lean towards a loss. But then, like, then again, like you said, we don't really know, like, what Memphis will be. Like, to your point, they lost to what, like... quite a bit of games last year. Surprisingly, like, they weren't great on the road. But it's a home game for them. So, I don't know. I'll probably lean loss.
So you're at what? I'd be at 9-3?
I'd be at 9-3, and you'd be at 10-2.
No, I'm at 11-1, man. I only haven't losing to Ohio State.
Oh, you think they... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they beat everyone on the AAC schedule. I don't know. I don't know. I'm optimistic.
There you are. You're sky high on the team. See, it's like, I think they could go 9-3 and still be better than they were last year. Just like their schedule this year is a lot
better
than
that's
it was
true.
Last year. I think a 9-3 season could almost be more encouraging than their year last year, even though that sounds crazy on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I kind of see that same way. I feel like it's one of those, there's going to be that corner of the fan base where they said, oh, they lost two, or they won two less games than they did last season. Fickle is going to get fired, and it's going to be just, it is going to be fun to watch them wallow in their own misery.
Yeah, I think, like, the really exciting thing about this year is, like I said earlier, like, they play a couple of big marquee games to start. They play a tricky road game they probably wouldn't have agreed to, like, if they had it back in hindsight. And, like, they start off conference play with, like, two of the like, marquee names in the league, like Central Florida and Houston, especially now that Houston has Holgorsen. So, like, just a gigantic start for the season. And if it goes well, like, you're looking at a really nice number next to your name, like, the entire season. And, like, maybe UC could be ranked, maybe should be ranked to start the year. And if, like, they beat UCLA, you probably think they would be ranked when they played Ohio State, just with how that works.
Yeah, where do you think they're going to be, like, before the season?
If they're ranked before the season, I think they'd probably be in, like, the 20s, the low 20s. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be, like, I think at best, they're probably going to be, like, what, 22nd, 23rd? Using my head, I feel like they're probably going to be, like, ranked, like, 30th to 35th, like, before the season. And then, like, if they, you know, if they beat UCLA, I think that's definitely going to be an opportunity where they drop jumper to the top 25. I think just, but like, UCLA itself, Chip Kelly had that team playing a lot better the back half of the year than the front half. It's still a Power 5 team. It's still a team that, like, they're still, you know, even though they got grandfathered in, they still have that Power 5 flag hanging over them. So, you know, that's some one of those things that, like, you know, voters look at, just, you know, just at a high level. UC beats UCLA by, like, 20 or 30 points, they could be in the top 25 for sure.
Yeah, and, like, it's like, as you said, I think, though, they'll probably be in, like, the 30 range. It's like a big win, especially opening night on ESPN. Like, mm-hmm. When, like, really no other games are probably going on, at least no other interesting games. We could probably look ahead to the schedule if it's available anywhere and figure that out. But, like, starting that off with a win would be a really great start. And, like, UCLA is going to be a really interesting team with, like, how people really didn't like their recruiting class this season. And, like, as you mentioned, Chip Kelly, like, there's going to be a lot of talk about him, like, year two with that program. Like, playing Ohio State. Like, if that game is, like, a national TV game, I think it just does a little bit more to get UC ranked.
Just, I, like, mean, if they beat a top five OSU team, they're for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, if they beat Ohio State, they'd be, like, a top 15 team, definitely. It looks like the only other big game on that could be that Thursday is Georgia Tech and Clemson, but that's on the ACC network. So, yeah, think of a big national spotlight game for UC on the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
And Utah BYU is the other big game.
Right. Anything else you want to cover?
Note from way earlier. Jalen Adams is out 4 to 6 weeks, so he won't play in the next UC-UConn game. I had that tab opened and then forgot to say that.
Oh, well, a nice little nugget, because that was one thing I was trying to figure out earlier.
that's all I got. What about you, Chris?
Nope, I'm good. We will try to get this thing back to weekly. Hopefully, fingers crossed, who knows.
Oh, we should probably... do you think UC is going to beat Wichita State? Like, let's preview that game in like 30 seconds.
Because they play lights out at home.
Yeah, like, I don't think they'll shoot as poorly as they did at Wichita either. Like, you'd probably say the same thing for Wichita, because like, that game was really ugly. And what there was like a big fight where like UC like was able to get technical free throws or whatever it was, and pull that game away. I think that they'll win by double digits again, and kind of do what they did at the end to Wichita State, even though Wichita's playing pretty well, and Marcus McDuffie's really good. It'd be a nice showdown between him and Cumberland on ESPN, national game on Sunday.
Yep. Should be a good one. Yeah, I think, I agree. I think Wichita State's been playing a lot better, but UC is just so lights out at home. It's I don't think there's any question in my mind. I think they win the game by, like, double digits.
Start another winning streak, and hopefully if they do Mo Eggers thing, they just win every single game the rest of the way. And then they can just win the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament too. That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah, that would be very nice. I mean, you know, not to put too many expectations on them.
Yeah, just be perfect and don't fail at all.
Just perfection, or I'm going to burn everything down. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for joining us, and as always, go Bearcats!